always welcome. And we're so glad to have you here today. Praise the Lord. Well, we're ready to continue the year's theme. And if you'll just open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18, that's going to be our first scripture. So you'll be ready to go. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to sow. You know, Michelle preached a sermon not too long ago, a few weeks ago, about impact and using your gifts. And you all put your gifts in a box, and you know, we read through those, and a lot of things we can do with your gifts and talents. And as I was looking at the announcements, and you know, right away in the new year, we want to start sowing. Any opportunity you get to sow, you see. Let me just go right to the point. In 2019, if we can get this concept, if we focus on sowing into godly things, into righteous things, with your time or whatever you gifts you have, whatever, if you can focus in 2019 on doing whatever you can to sow, I believe 2019 is going to be a year that you're going to look back and see a bountiful harvest. That's kind of the message what I'm trying to portray across for you for 2019 is find opportunities to sow, find opportunities to just plant. And you may say, well, what do you mean exactly? That could mean so many different things. You sow in so many different ways. We all know the Bible talks about sowing as far as, tithes and offerings, and that's always a topic that's talked about, but it's much more than that, although that's important. It's about using your gifts, sowing time, sowing your gifts, sowing whatever you have to offer. And I really believe we're going to look back at 2019 and see God be faithful in bountiful blessings. You cannot outgive God. If you're going to sow, you're going to reap. That's just a biblical principle that is like automatic. So have this mindset in 2019 to sow, to read your Bible, pray like never before. Pray, use your gifts like never before. Don't be afraid to step out a little bit and do something a little different, to show up at an event you would have never shown up to, or whatever it may be. Don't be afraid to sow this year, because I believe this is a year to sow and a time to sow. In all different kinds of way, and that's really the big picture. You know, at work, I like to let me give you the big picture why I'm telling you to do this little thing, because there's actually a big purpose behind it. It's good to know the reason you're doing something, right? And that's the big picture. That's the big message for our church in 2019 is do whatever you can to sow righteousness, to sow biblical principles, to sow the things that you know you can sow for His kingdom. And I really believe you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, God really, really, really moved. He really answered. He really did do something. And that doesn't mean along the way there isn't going to be a lot of discouragement, because you know, if you read the Bible, that's all the Bible characters. I'm just like, they always went through stuff. And there's a reason for that. God says that we go through stuff in order to build character, in order to build faith and to build a commitment and things like that. So that's the message, and I guess I summarized the whole message here in like 5 minutes, so I guess we're done. Is that right? No, not yet? Okay. All right, let's move on. Proverbs chapter 11. So you know that all of God's promises are true and they will come to pass. You know that, right? You know, the Bible says, where's a child, the way he should go, he won't depart. True. Even though you may see something different, it doesn't change the fact that God will keep His promises. Amen. The Bible says, if you'll seek, you will find. True. The Bible says to cast your cares on Jesus, and He will give you rest. True. God will not suffer, the Bible says. The God will not suffer His righteous to be moved. That's true. And even if you're at a point in your life where things are not going as planned or happening the way you want them to be happening, you never doubt that God will make a way where there seems to be no way, somehow, some way. Just keep sowing into righteousness. Keep doing the right things. You will reap what you sow. So my prayer and hope is that in 2019 you sow biblical principles into your life like never before. Like do it like people do it, like people buy lotteries, you know, like to be a millionaire, you know, they just, you know those people, right? They're always buying lottery tickets. Well, we got something that's for sure. Right? We don't even have to be 1 in 10 million trillion. It is 100% you will reap. Awesome. What you sow. We don't have to hope that we may be the number selected. God will move supernaturally on your behalf. So the main point today in your notes, that everyone have notes. If you don't have notes, raise your hand. We'll get some to you real quick. We've got one note. We need 1, 2. So Judy, if you'll help me with that. Saori here. One in the middle here. Again, share. Now, Nelda, you have notes, yeah? Right here. Right there, yeah. In your notes, it says their main point. Do not be discouraged or in discontent. You will reap bountifully in God's perfect timing. Amen? You know what keeps people from sowing biblical principles? Because, really, think about it. If I knew every time I sowed, I get awesome stuff, wouldn't we just be like, how can I sow more? Right? Think about it. But we go through life and you know, life hits you and you have ups and downs and you struggle. But what keeps people from sowing biblical principles? When we know here in this church, we know that God will reward those who diligently seek Him. We know that God, that we will reap bountifully when we give and we sow. Don't you think everybody would be around like, where can I sow? I remember Pastor Green told me one time, he was like, whenever he didn't have any money to pay the bills, he's like, okay, whatever I have, I'm going to give it. He just believed that's the way it worked, because that's the biblical principle. And he did it. And he has amazing testimonies how God provided. It's so true. What keeps people from sowing biblical principles? Even when we know the Bible says that we will reap bountifully what we sow, why do people not sow like crazy? And the answer is this. Two reasons people stop sowing faithfully. The discouragement and discontent, or dissatisfied. In the underline there, you can put dissatisfied or discontent of God's plan. I looked up I no longer go to Webster's Dictionary. I now go to Google. That's where everybody goes, right? Google. So I went to Google to find the definition of discontent. And the definition of discontent is dissatisfaction with your circumstances, with one's circumstances. The reason that people of God, don't sow like crazy is because we get discouraged. And we get like, God, I'm not sure I even like the plan you're leading on right now. It's true. If we're honest with ourselves, at the end of the day, that's why we're not sowing like crazy. We get discouraged from keep sowing, and then I don't see it right away. It's true. It's human nature. And the enemy uses that. Knowing that you'll get discouraged, right? That he starts putting little things in. And God just knows how far the enemy can go. Because you read the book of Job, right? You see that Job was going through this stuff. But he never blamed God, and he never cursed God. And what happened to Job at the end of that story? God blessed him bountifully more than he ever had before. So those are two reasons that people don't start just sowing and sowing and sowing like there is no tomorrow, because of discouragement and discontent. So let's read some scriptures. What does the Bible say about sowing? We read some last week, but we're going to cover a few more. Proverbs 11:18. You're there already. Amen. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Remember I tell you it's not one out of a million lottery? A sure 100% God will reward what you sow, and you will reap what you sow. And that was the King James versions. I don't know if this is the NIV or some other versions, but the one in your notes says a wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. So the opposite is true too. Right? The opposite is true too. When you sow sin and you sow disobedience and you sow the stuff that we're not supposed to be sowing, that the Bible talks about, how we treat others and things like that. When you start sowing stuff that's darkness, then you will also reap that darkness. And so it is so important that we don't just begin sowing into God's kingdom, but that we ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to stop sowing into that other stuff. Right? They kind of go together. You will find the more you sow into the things of God, the less you'll sow into your sinful nature. It's true. It's the way your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit within you will rise up and you'll be empowered to overcome. So in Luke chapter 6, turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. This is one of our favorite scriptures, right? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So, just give, right? In the form of giving in this particular case. Give. This is where the concept you cannot outgive God comes from. Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Do you believe that this morning? He's a good God. He is a good God. So give. It's a sure thing. Give. It's a sure thing. Hosea, that one's a little harder to find in your Bible. Hosea in the Old Testament, in the end of the Old Testament, towards the end of the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible. What does the Bible say about sowing? It says, sow to yourself, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap unfailing love, break up the unplowed ground for yourselves, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers deliverance on you. So I got this out of this verse. It says to sow righteousness, reap, and you'll reap his love. And I like this, break unplowed ground for yourselves. You know what that means? Start sowing in areas that you haven't quite gotten to yet, like unplowed ground. Like, be purposeful, like where could I give some time or help or do or use my gifts? Give. Find those places. Find those places to sow, the unplowed ground, the areas you haven't ventured into yet. You'll be surprised, right? So, for example, when Brother Cassiano prepares for his, and Nelly prepare for the Wednesday night Bible study they're having in Spanish, Nelly brings cupcakes and homemade stuff, really good stuff. You should try it. It's good. But one of you in here could be like, you know what? Nelly's doing that every week. Let me give her a couple of weeks off, and let me just drop them off. You don't have to stay, right? You drop them off. Tell Nelly, I'm gonna do it this week. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, those are the kind of things that you start like. How can I? Can you imagine when you start thinking your life like that? How much blessings you're gonna have, right? See, this world doesn't operate that way. Like, protect yourself, look out for yourself. But biblical principles are like, no, find opportunities to bless. Find opportunities to help. Find opportunities to do this or to do that. And do it like you just know bountiful blessing is always going to come because of that. So that was a good example, but there's others, right? There's other examples. We have people who clean the church all the time, right? What if you just said, well, Pastor, I'll take care of it this week. That'll be a blessing too. So those things like, what can I do? You know, one of the pastor's dreams, a pastor's dream, not mine, but all pastors, including me, is for people to start coming and say, hey, I'll do anything. I don't think I had one of those in a while, but I'll do anything. Because you know what anything means? Like, the toilets need clean, right? But yeah, it's been a little while since we have the I'll do anything, right? But you know what? That's the way it used to be in the old days, right? Nowadays, people are more like, I'll only do things that I'm really happy about. I know I'll have fun. You know, sometimes the Lord will just speak to you. It's time to just help, whatever. It may not be what God has planned for you for your final ministry, but there's a journey to get there, right? I remember Pastor Green, he was just saved, and the stories he tells, you know, that's why we keep bringing up his name, because in 23 years, we heard a lot of stories. And he told his pastor, I'll do anything, and they had him do the toilets. I mean, that was like the first job he had. But he did the toilets with all he had, you know, did it right. He had to help build tents for tent revivals. All the stakes, you remember those tents, that stakes they put? He would do all of that, just working for the Lord. So that unplowed ground, think about that while you think about 2019 and how you're going to go forward. And Galatians, turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians. Chapter 6, verse 7. I didn't write that scripture all out in your notes, so I'm going to read this one in the King James Version. 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we know this is talking about we're going to reap the streets of gold, right? We're going to reap everlasting presence with God when we sow living for Jesus, right? When we accept Jesus into our heart and as Savior, we're going to reap that. But along that journey, a lot of discouragement and things happen. So verse 9 is probably the most important part of this, because we know it's automatic. You will reap what you sow. But this part is probably the part you got to underline, write down, sink into your heart. Do not get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, the enemy, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, as the Bible says. And he will do whatever he can to discourage you and for you to be in discontent. Don't get weary. So let's talk about those two things. Don't be discouraged. Let's start. Because I said this is the reason why Christians aren't like, where can I sow? Where can I sow? All over the place every day, right? Because of discouragement, discontent, and just being discouraged. So don't be discouraged. The Lazarus story is a good story about not being discouraged. So turn to John chapter 11, verse 17. John chapter 11, verse 17. You know the story. Jesus hears that his good friend Lazarus is very ill, and he waits. He waits a little bit of time. And as he's waiting, Lazarus dies. And then Jesus showed up. And let's read 17 through 27 here. Well, let me start with 25. And Jesus said, 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatsoever liveth and believeth in whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come into the world. And when she had so said, she went to her way to call Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come, and call us for thee. Verse 21, I skipped something very important. Let me read it real quick. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So Martha was discouraged that Jesus didn't come sooner, because she knew if he would have come sooner, that maybe he would have prayed for him and he wouldn't have died. So she was discouraged that Jesus didn't show up on time. So Martha was discouraged. In your note, there's an underline there in the middle. Martha was discouraged that Jesus had not come sooner. But Jesus is not constrained by time. You know that God can't be late? He can't be late. So although Martha was discouraged that he didn't come sooner, Jesus was right on time. You know that God's promises are true and they will come to pass. They will come on time. You will reap bountifully if you sow righteously. You know, one of the reasons people get discouraged is because of time. You may sow now and you kind of want to see the reaping of the benefits of that sowing, like, sooner rather than later, right? Oh, that's what's so hard. But this is where faith and trust comes in. We're people of faith, right? There's a reason why God does things in his time. You believe that? There's a reason, right? And the reason is not to make you feel good. It's just not. The reason is kingdom purpose reasons. His kingdom purpose reasons. That means that God answers the reap, you know, gives the reaping and answers prayer in some time frame in which there's a kingdom purpose. Somehow, some way, his kingdom is going to be magnified, enhanced because of the timing. I believe that with all my heart. There's things that Alyssa and I are praying for. We're just like going to believe God no matter what. Because our God does not lie. He's a good God. And you know, it's okay sometimes to pray, to tell God, you know, I'm not happy with your timing. You need to change it a little bit here. Please, I can't take it anymore. It's okay to have those conversations with God. As a matter of fact, that kind of honesty and deep heart analysis is helpful. It's helpful to you. So you'll know what's bothering you. Get it out. So don't be discouraged. Trust his timing. Trust it. And just run with it. And you will reap in due time. Do not get weary. Don't let time get you weary. The enemy will use it to sidetrack you. And don't be in discontent. Philippians chapter 1, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Don't get into discontent about or dissatisfied with what God's doing with you. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, the work, he'll be faithful to complete it in you. He who started a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. God will complete the work he has planned for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, we know this is one of our favorite scriptures we read all the time. In Jeremiah, it's very clear that God has a good plan. It says in verse 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's got a good plan. Trust him. And one of the best stories to talk about being in discontent about God's plan for their life is Jonah chapter 1. In Jonah chapter 1, let's just read 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down unto Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Wow. Discontentment, big time. So can you imagine? Jonah, I need you to go over there. And it's like, whoa. Like, I'll pay whatever fare I got to pay. I'm gone. There's no better story to signify or to represent discontentment about the plan that God for us. And if we're honest, sometimes we get afraid of God's plan for us, about what we will have to give up. Amen? You got to dig down deep right now. This is the part to dig down. Sometimes we're afraid. If I start sowing all this and God starts, then I'm not going to have fun, or I'm not going to be able to do this or do that. I when I was a youth leader, I had a young person come to me one time and say, you know, I want to live for God, but I'm afraid because, you know, I won't have more fun. And I was like, you got it all wrong. You're thinking about this all wrong. The devil got you all twisted, because here's what really happens. Now listen close. When you begin to serve the Lord, and you begin to sow biblical principles and righteousness, what starts happening is God begins to change the desires of your heart. See, what this boy was talking about fun was maybe going to parties and things like that, right? But when you begin to sow and change your life for God, what becomes fun is going and serving and taking that baked good on a Wednesday becomes joy to you. Like we were talking that example about Nelly doing. Just sowing becomes joy. It's a journey, right? It just doesn't happen overnight, right? But it is a journey, and I found it to be true. And I see this in Pastor Green and Kathleen as well. Is the older and older we got and more mature in the Lord, the more it just put a smile on our face to see that one person who had nothing for Christmas give a toy to their child. I mean, makes life simple, huh? Puts life in perspective. And that's the truth, but you got to be willing to surrender. See, some people aren't willing to surrender to God's plan because they don't want to change their plan. And that's the main reason for being in discontent and discouraged and dissatisfied with God's plan. It's like I was giving a little bit of my testimony. I knew at some point I was either going to have to walk into God's plan or not. Like, lukewarm was not an option, because I knew that the Bible said, you know, I had this vision of this picture in my head, I should say, about God spitting me out of his mouth. that scripture in Revelations, right? What does God do with lukewarm? Spits it out. And I just... For some reason in my heart, it's like, I can't be lukewarm. I'm either going to go or not. It's lukewarm. Actually, lukewarm Christian living is the most miserable Christian living. I can tell you from experience. Half in, half out, not surrendering all. I don't know how you do it, if people do it, right? It's crazy. You know, you're just down all the time. It just, either, okay, I surrender it all, or I... you know, go do whatever. And Jonah had a little bit of a problem. He wanted to be lukewarm. And he was discontent about God's plan. But you know the story. He ended up in the belly of the whale. He ended up in darkness, really, right? That's the best way to describe it. He ended up in darkness. But he surrendered. He surrendered. God had mercy on him, right? Why did God have? He had mercy on Jonah. And we know the story. He goes and he preached to these awful people that just had no morals at all. Like, no morals. And when they heard the truth, they're like, huh, let's give that a shot. And they did. The king said everyone's going to serve the Lord. And there was a revival. There was a revival in Nineveh. You see, God has a big picture plan for what he's doing with you. So do not be discouraged. Do not be in discontent. God will show up. He will do his part. So God's plan for you is good. And he will change the desires of your heart. Don't be afraid of what you will lose. It should be the other way around. You should be afraid of what you're going to miss when you don't surrender your life and your plans to God. You're going to miss a whole lot of blessings. The truth is that you grow in the Lord. As you grow in the Lord, God changes the desires of your heart. When you surrender to God's perfect will for your life, God will fill you with joy and peace that passes understanding, even in the storm. Michelle, if you'll just come up and play some music. We're going to close in prayer. So I hope in 2019, and I got a little bit of a series about sowing, and next week we'll continue, but I hope in 2019, not your mind, not that you heard it, but down in your heart, that you're catching, I believe, what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to get into us, and that is find every opportunity to sow. Find every opportunity to sow. You know, ladies are meeting, sow into that. Work days, sow into that. Just sow into there's and not just church, right? I mean, your personal life, your personal relationship with Christ. Sow into being nice to a coworker. Sow the biblical principles, and as you're sowing them, just imagine, just know. I mean, you don't have to imagine, but know that your reward and your reaping is assured. We read it in Scripture. It is sure. Just know it. Go and sow, and do what you can. And that being said, we're not a church. I am not a pastor that is gonna tell you to sow and do this and do that and do this to the point where you're having to, you know, affect your work and you know, stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, oh, I'm gonna stop doing. No. You pray and you ask the Lord to lead you and guide you, because you have responsibilities that's biblical also, right? Got to take care of your family. Right? There's biblical principles. But there's also ways that God will make a way. And sometimes God will speak to you and say, I need you to do this, and you need to take time out from something to do it. But God is a God of order. And there's a way, an attitude, a mindset, and he'll use you. So start thinking about it. I hope you're catching it. Start thinking about it. How can you sow in 2019? In all kinds of ways. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. You're a good God, Lord. We just thank you for your Spirit teaching us. This is a year. We're going to sow. We're going to grow. Just basics, Lord. It's not about coming up with new amazing ways and formulas and ways to do things for you, Lord. The simplicity of just doing things for you and growing in stability, and the enemy will no longer be able to blind us, because we're going to... Our blinders this year in 2019 will be removed, and we will begin to see clearly that God is at work in our lives. And then when we sow, we will see a bountiful reaping. Lord, we can see it in our spirits, Lord. Just like the prophet could see that cloud in the distance, and he knew that the rain was coming. Lord, we can see that it's coming. That a flood is coming. The wave is coming. And it's time to sow. And it's time to sow. Some in this room that have been neglecting praying and reading. It's time to sow. That's the most basic. That's the most important. That your relationship with Jesus Christ. Make time. Don't ever be too busy at work. Don't ever be too busy in life to not be able to take a few minutes to pray and to read God's word. It's time to sow into that. Don't be afraid. God will move you into uncharted territory. But don't be afraid. He's with you. You know, Joseph was a perfect example of one who sowed and sowed biblical principles no matter what situation he was in. When he was in prison, he sowed good. No matter what your situation is right now, sow his biblical principles. Sow them. Heavenly Father, these are your people. We receive your word. Open our eyes to see what it means to each and every one of us, because it is different for each and every one of us. But what is the same is this. You have a good plan for our lives. A blessed plan. And while we're here on earth, we will move from victory to victory. Not by might nor by power, but by the name of Jesus Christ, who is above every name. Lord, we leave this place determined and excited to sow. And we understand, Lord, that we're not going to see the reaping right away. So give us patience. Teach us not to be discouraged because of time. Teach us not to be in discontent that things aren't working out as we had planned. Teach us, Lord. We are teachable, Lord. Open our eyes. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into all truth. And every family that is in this place, every family represented in this church, the enemy has no authority to step foot on our territory. And I bind you, Satan, from trying to steal, kill, and destroy these families. His word says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So, enemy, you are cast out from our families in this church. And we will sow. And sow. And sow. Because it is time to sow. Ecclesiastes says there's a time. A time to sow. And a time to reap. Lord, we receive your word. We receive. We surrender to you. We just surrender to you as a church body. We surrender to you. Go. Go before us, Lord. Go before us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering.